Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Dunkin' is the official coffee of the Fan Morning Show. Very good morning to everyone out there. Fan Hotline presented by Nemacolin. Around every corner, Nemacolin creates real-life magic for guests. Brad Spielberger, Pro Football Focus. He joins right now. Hello, Brad. How you doing?
Doing well. How you doing?
Great. I was listening to some sports talk radio in Alabama this morning in Birmingham, and they're talking about, they're kicking themselves. They gave up a field goal. They're talking about that 3 points they gave up against Vanderbilt. It's killing them.
I was wondering why you're listening to Alabama radio. I was wondering, where is that going? Look, the boys came out, they battled, they got 3 points. So 3 points more than they scored less than they played Alabama. So it's all about progress.
Yeah, 55-3, big drubbing on the weekend for your Doors. Hopefully they go get them next week. That seems to be about on par with the Steelers' offense, I guess. I don't know. We've been talking and knocking this around some in many different ways. Is the problem with the Steelers' offense the quarterback? Is it the coordinator? Or is it both?
I think it's both. You know, I had some reports that some players are upset with Matt Canada. I do think that he is not really creating consistent, cohesive approaches on offense. But they have had some splash plays. They've had some big moments. Obviously, Pickens had a crazy catch. Deontay Johnson's had some crazy catches. But sustaining drives, staying ahead of the stick, stuff like that has just not been there. And I think some of that also is on Mitchell Trubisky. But I would get why there could be frustration with Matt Canada.
Hey, you rate players, you know, through and through throughout the league, Brad. In your opinion, is Matt Canada the worst offensive coordinator in the league from what you've seen this year?
It's early. It's very early. I think he's probably in the conversation. He obviously has a lot of proof coming into it. You know, based on our priors, we did not think he was a good offensive coordinator. I think we obviously tried to say is maybe some of the limitations of his offense because Big Ben was, you know, lacking mobility, things like that. But Trubisky has danced around the pocket a little bit. He had that play late in the Bengals game where he kind of had to run around and still made a play. Big Ben obviously wasn't doing anything like that. So it's not – I think you can definitely make the case because the offensive line has been okay. The weapons are a good unit of weapons. And then the quarterback, sure, he's not a superstar, but he's someone you can work with in theory. So I think it's fair to say Canada has been one of the worst offensive coordinators so far this season.
Well, you just identified what could pass for, at least for this offense, some strengths, Brad, right? An improved offensive line, certainly plenty of skill position weapons to use, a mobile quarterback, even if he isn't always making the best decisions. So I put you in Matt Canada's shoes or up in the booth and give you his headset. How do you develop the identity of this offense?
Yeah, you know, I think I'm throwing more on first downs. I am pushing the ball downfield more often. You know, I think they kind of have the kitty gloves on Mitchell Trubisky a little bit and don't want him to lose games for them, which I do understand. He can make some mistakes. But without T.J. Watt right now, this isn't a defense that you can just say, we'll just score 17 points and we'll get a win. Maybe with T.J. Watt, it is that defense. And you can try to play that style of football. But right now, when you cannot run the ball with any sort of effectiveness whatsoever, and your defense is good but not great without T.J. Watt, you need to score 24, 27 points to win some of these games. And they're just playing so conservatively. So, look, I would say I'm going to live and die by early down passing, pushing the ball downfield, and trusting that I have Claypool, Johnson, Pickens, et cetera, to make some plays, make some guys miss an open space, and get some chunk yardage plays here and there.
You mentioned the Steelers' defense. That's where I wanted to go anyhow, Brad. Obviously no T.J. Watt. So apart from the obvious, what are you seeing so far from the Steelers' defense in the couple of games without T.J.?
Yeah, you know, I think obviously when you lose TJ, the pass rush is the first thing you're going to think about. But I think it goes back to last year again as well. I mean, they just have not been a great run defense unit. Teams can definitely get some chunk plays against them on the ground, can find space. They're kind of running at that new position, whoever is replacing TJ Watt. You know, Larry Ogunjobi's been okay. Cam Hayward's a great player, but can't do it all by himself. And I think opposing offenses have been able to move this defensive line, I'm not going to say at will, but they've been able to create space and let their running back find lanes fairly easily without TJ Watt.
All right, let's stick with that. Fan Morning Show presented by Matt Mertz Plumbing, now part of the Armstrong Comfort Solutions family. I tweeted this not long ago. Lost in all the talk about the Steelers' offense not being good, there were plenty, Brad, of concerns about bringing back a 35-year-old banged-up Tyson Alualu. He hasn't performed well to this point. He's looked 35 and banged up. If he doesn't turn it around, could Adams or Leal play some more?
You would hope, and I would think that DeMarvin Leal would play more. I mean, Alualu is a good player, but like you say, yeah, very old, and also a guy you probably don't want playing more than, I don't know, 15, 20 snaps a game anyway. He's a 400-snap-a-season type player. I do. I think you want to see more DeMarvin Leal. He is a good run defender, you know, or was in college at least, and is a guy you want to develop, play more. And if you have Hayward and Ogunjobi and some talent around him, you know, he shouldn't be asked to do too much, but to just continue to grow, understand the game, understand the defensive front that Pittsburgh runs. I would certainly hope so. If not, it's a bit of a, you know, a red flag to a degree.
Brad, I'm going to go in a little bit of a different direction here. What's the gap between Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen, or even Lamar Jackson and anybody else in the league right now?
It's not. I mean, Lamar Jackson, I think right now is probably the MVP of the season so far. I mean, it's crazy. He's third in yards per attempt at 8.5 yards per attempt, and he's first in yards per carry at 9.3 yards per carry. So the ball being in Lamar Jackson's hands is about the most efficient thing you can do in all of the NFL, whether he's passing or throw or running right now. You know, I think Josh Allen is probably in that kind of tier with Patrick Mahomes, where they're kind of in their own stratosphere. But I then think the next group is, you know, Lamar Jackson and Justin Herbert and some of these other young upshots. They're right in that next group of players. But, yeah, the way Jackson's playing right now, he bet on himself. He's looking for that contract, and it's going pretty well so far.
Brad, I'm going to come back around to the Steelers for just a moment here, because I looked up PFF grades for running backs. And Najee Harris, at least the run portion of the grade, not the receiving, not the pass blocking or run blocking portion of the grade, but just the run portion of the grade, he's not even in the top 40 of halfbacks right now. Given the improvement of the offensive line, I know they're just averages compared to absolutely horrid last year, but given that improvement of the offensive line, what is Najee Harris not doing?
Yeah, so, you know, in my opinion, at least, I think you can see the injuries are bothering him. You know, the foot injury, the lift strength that he dealt with throughout most of the offseason, then kind of aggravated that area again before the season began. I just filtered it to at least a minimum 25 rushes, and he's still 33rd. His grade is 33rd if you reduce it to guys that have ran the ball 25 times. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think he has looked particularly good. I will say the offensive line has gotten better as a pass protection unit. They're still not great, at least when I'm watching the film in the morning. Like, they don't seem to create a lot of room for Najee Harris, but I also think that he now is at a point, which is probably not entirely his fault, where he's so used to there not being any room. I think he's missing some length and actually not seeing some things that maybe he's been so scared and conditioned into assuming there will not be any rushing lanes. He's now kind of bouncing too many things and not just putting his head down and falling forward, which I think we've actually seen a little bit of from Jalen Warren.
I know that when you guys are grading wide receivers, a lot of the times it's obviously independent of where the football winds up going. What are you seeing from the Steelers' wide receivers?
They are creating separation and getting open. I mean, I think Deontay Johnson is having a great start to the season. I know he had, I want to say, one drop this past week that he probably should have had, but I think all told, he's got a great start and kind of living up to that contract and showing why he earned it. Pickens, you know, obviously with Pickens, there's been a ton of production, but that one-handed catch on the sideline was one of the catches of the season, and that's what you want to see from him. He's creating separation, maybe not 99% of the time, like you said, but he's definitely getting open. And Claypool's Claypool. I think they're using him creatively as they always do. A lot of, you know, getting him the ball, you know, near the line of scrimmage, letting him create yards after the catch, stuff like that. I think it comes down to Mitchell Trubisky, and then I think it comes down to just Canada is just not dialing things up, I think, consistently enough to push the ball down the field.
Time right now is 8:10. Time to call Shendorovich, Shendorovich and Fishman. Call 888-98-TWINS. All right, I've never asked you this question. It's not Steeler-centric. It is league-wide, and it's a two-part question. One, with PFF's rankings, who is that one player in the league where you say, no, listen, PFF's numbers tell me that he is much better than what the common thought on him is. Thus, he's insanely underrated. And flip that over. Who is that player that the masses think, man, he's unbelievable. He's a really good football player. And your numbers yield, he's just all right. Who are those two players in the league?
So the first one I would say, and it's starting to change now, where people are recognizing him. But I remember Rashawn Gary going into last season, the Green Bay Packers edge rusher, I was like, guys, I don't think people realize his snap usage is not that high because they had Darius Smith and Preston Smith. But this Rashawn Gary guy looks like one of the better players on the field every time he steps out there. And then last season, I mean, again, the numbers totally backed it up. His sacks weren't super high, but his pressure percentage, his pass rush win rate, both top five among edge rushers, you know, up there in the TJ Watt conversation. So he's probably that guy on that end where I don't think people realize just how dynamic and how incredible he has become after a slower start to his career. As for the other side of the spectrum, that's a great question. Off the top of my head, a guy that I think people maybe overrate a little bit, you put me on the spot here. That's a tough one.
What about a quarterback then?
A quarterback. Sure. I mean, I guess I would go Matthew Stafford. I don't know where his perception maybe is, but he has a lot of positive plays. He also, he led the league in interceptions last year. He certainly could do it again this year. He throws a ton of turnover-worthy plays. He is good. There's no question about it. But, now people are crowning him as a Hall of Famer now because he won that one Super Bowl, and he has a ton of volume stats. But in my opinion, he's, the 9th, 10th best quarterback in the NFL. I'm not sure he's ever been better than the 9th, 8th, 9th, 10th best quarterback in the NFL.
Ooh, see, I thought Matt Stafford was a Hall of Famer, even if he didn't go to Los Angeles.
And I think that, the numbers make sense there, and then you realize he has always come from behind wins and all these volume stats of passing yards and passing touchdowns. Yeah, because they're down 27-7, and then he scores two touchdowns, lobbing it up to Calvin Johnson. I think you and I could throw a couple tutties to Calvin Johnson.
Oh, man.
Thorin.
Man, coming at my man like that.
I know.
How's Russell Wilson looking?
Oh, here we go.
Yeah, Doran, just so you know, Brad, for sake of background, Doran here, our partner, Doran Dickerson, is a gigantic Russell Wilson fan and told us all offseason how Russ was going to cook, and it's not really happening now.
Brad, answer this. Is Russell Wilson a Hall of Famer?
He is a Hall of Famer, but right now he's cooking up some cereal out there.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
He's hacking it up, huh?
All right, Brad, we thank you very much. We'll talk to you again next week. We appreciate it, as always.
Thank you, guys. Broncos country.
Oh, my gosh. Brad Spielberger, Pro Football Focus. All right, if you had to win one game right now and you had the same other 10 people on offense, would you take Matt Stafford or Russell Wilson? Hondorn?
Oh. Russell Wilson.
Liar.
There's no way.
Why would I lie?
Hey, he would.
Right now? He would.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth.
So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.